I brought people that I knew that had been in the business who could bring investment opportunities. And then I was the translator. I'm the connector. I'm showing them how to put deals together on a basis. And that just took off and became what today is Freedom Founders.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I've got David Phelps here with me. He's a former practicing dentist who transitioned into real estate, the life of his dreams, and helped impact others in a huge way. So I'm excited to jump into his story and his background because it's certainly unique. David, how are you?
Neil, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate your time and coming on. You've got one of the more interesting stories and backgrounds as it relates to who you help and how you help. But tell me, sir, former practicing dentist, how in the world did you even stumble into the world of real estate?
Well, actually, Neil, I was in real estate before I became a dentist. Okay. So that's a twist in itself. Most people would say, well, why would you do that? Why would you go from real estate into dentistry and then back out again? And that's really what the story is about. But yeah, when I was in college, I was, you know, doing my studies to get into dental school, which involved a lot of science courses, chemistry and biology and physics and physiology. But I still had this penchant inside about wanting to be a good steward of money that someday I would have. Back then, I had student loan debts like most everybody else. So, And so I was reading books about investing money. And I found books on stock market and mutual funds. It just kind of came out at that time. And that was kind of the big talk. There's books on mutual funds. And I found a few books on real estate. And one of them is a classic. Now, this is way before Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which has kind of become its own moniker today. But this is before then. And so there's a book entitled How I Took $1,000 and Turned It to $5 Million in Real Estate. Now, that's a classic by William Nickerson.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, I'm reading and comparing and contrasting between kind of stock market, financial market, and this tangible asset, real estate. And real estate just made a lot more sense. So just to shorten the story, I convinced my dad to invest in me, be my capital partner, to buy our first investment property. This is back in 1980 when I started dental school in Dallas, Texas. And that's what started my venture forward. So yeah, I managed that property. I learned boots on the ground, how to deal with tenants. But here's the big lesson, Neil, is, you know, I waited tables all through college and dental school to help offset some of the costs, which is a great job for a kid in school. And when I tallied up what I made per hour, which is probably about 15 bucks per hour with tips back in the day, which is pretty darn good. But I looked at the capital gain profit my dad and I split after 4 years of owning this property. I took about $25,000. That was my split. And I compared that to the hours I put in at the restaurant. It was a 10X. It was a 10X of my time in this asset. And that's what turned me on. I thought, there is something here. I'm never going to let this go. And so the story goes on from there. But that's how I got into real estate. Then went to dental school because that's where my marching orders were. I couldn't turn that back. But I did both in tandem for a number of years.
Yeah. How did you even get turned on to dentistry? Somebody in the family?
Well, nobody particularly a dentist. My father was a physician. I always thought I would follow those steps, but I became kind of enamored with my orthodontist and realized that he had very nice hours, like 9 to 4, wore a golf shirt, really great guy. I thought, my dad's gone half the time. He's doing surgery, gotten on call. I thought, okay, I think I could be a dentist. And so that's kind of how I went that route.
Certainly a unique practice. My best friend's wife is a dentist. So I've been understanding of that really from a business perspective standpoint. Certainly an interesting business. Tell me, how long were you in? Did you practice dentistry then?
Right about 20 years I was in practice.
Okay. And so you worked real estate in tandem. What types of things did you invest in?
I started with the basics, bread and butter. I stayed with single family houses. A little bit later, I got involved in financing and I learned to find, create notes. And then I got into mobile homes on lots and I actually bought a mobile home park. This was 30 some years ago. So that was my bread and butter was where I started for sure.
Yeah. We're really into the houses. Yeah. Talk a little about the 80s, because that's where you were started. There's a significant amount of comparison being taken place right now. And I see the book over your shoulder, Inflation. Talk to me about the 80s. What were that like? How does that compare to today? And then I want to bring it back to real estate industry and what kind of things you do today.
Well, there are a lot of correlations to what's going today as to what was happening back in the 70s and 80s. Yet, Neil, I didn't have a clue. I'm 22 years old and coming out of school and we didn't have Facebook. We didn't have talk radio, none of that stuff. So I was kind of clueless. I didn't know if the economy was good, bad, or otherwise. I just came out of the gates and go, let's do this thing, right? There's something about that. Just saying, quit trying to find excuses why something won't work. I think that's too many times we do that because we get too smart for ourselves and
that's right.
And analytical. So yeah, 1980, the inflation rate, early part of the year when this house was purchased, my dad and I, 14.8%.
Yep.
That's inflation rate. Volcker had been brought in by Carter and then kept on by Reagan with a really strong mandate to beat back inflation, which was causing a lot of issues we're seeing today. And so Volcker took the federal funds rate up to a high of 20%. Mm. And people today are like freaking out because we've gone up, what, 75 basis points. You know, it's like, oh boy, you know, here we go. But yes, the point is, in high inflation and with high interest rates, I think our mortgage rate on that house, the financing we got, was 13.5%. Mm-hmm. But that means the value of the property relative to those interest rates made sense. I couldn't do 13.5% on current values today. No way. But we're going to see things start to shift. And this is what people have to understand is when we go through some market dynamics, we top out in the market and we go start going through a correction, which I believe we're definitely heading into, there's going to be dynamic changes. And you have to be able to shift and move with those. Understand that the model that got you to where you are today may not be the model going forward, at least for a while. You may have to shift and figure out how to deviate and pivot, which is part of the game.
Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place, batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batchleads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT. For 50% off your first month.
Yep, you're absolutely right. It's pivoting and understanding that you said it, right? The classic book, Who Moved My Cheese, right?
Yeah.
It's just not always there. Things are shifting and shaping in a different fashion. But in an inflationary environment, real estate, real property is a pretty good place to be if you're doing it correctly, smartly, and you know, you've got a plan in action there.
Absolutely. People ask me today, well, what are you investing? Are you waiting? And I thought, well, there's certainly nothing wrong to keep some cash on the sidelines. I think that's very smart because whether you're in business or your investments, well, it has to be strong with cash flow, no question, and to get through the gap. But on the other side, yes, there's always niches or opportunities if you're plugged in, if you've got a network, if you've got boots on the ground presence, whatever that might be. There's always going to be opportunities to be involved. You just have to look at those with a little bit more discernment and not play the game that unfortunately a lot of novices do. And that is, there's always a greater fool who will pay a higher price. And that game's running out in all the markets right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So let's fast forward past the 80s. You've gone through, you're at the tail end of a dentistry, tail end of 20 years, and then you transition into real estate full time.
Yeah, it was a transition. It was more of a push. That has to do with my family. So I'll give you a little bit of a personal story. I have one daughter who, when she was 2.5 years old, was diagnosed with high-risk leukemia, which was a very hard road to hoe. In fact, the marriage to her mother failed. That's something I have regrets, but it was no fault. So we didn't make through the marriage. Jennifer survived that. Then she had epileptic seizures for a number of years. And at age 12, she was diagnosed with end-stage liver failure. Too much chemo, too much epileptic seizures just destroyed her liver at a very early age. And so she's on the liver transplant list. She was fortunate that another family offered the organs of their daughter they lost in a tragic automobile accident. And my daughter, Jen, got the liver and really saved her life. I mean, there's no substitute. You can't go on dialysis like you can for kidneys and prolong it. You either get the liver or you don't, and you don't survive. So when she was in the hospital recovering from that very long procedure to replace a liver, that I had really had time to think. Most of the time, as most entrepreneurs, I'm going. I'm doing dentistry. I'm doing real estate. I'm trying to be this, provide all the security and financial fortress for the family, which is a big part of what we do. But at the same time, I'm being sucked away. Well, not sucked away, but being torn between, do I still go hard on the finances or do I need to be with my daughter? And of course, that's kind of an easy decision to make.
Right.
It's like, if some way I'm going to figure out how to do this. So I decided then and there that I was going to let dentistry go, at least for a time. I didn't know whether I'd go back to it, but fortunately, I had enough real estate that provided enough cash flow that I could take my foot off the pedal. So I sold the practice very quickly after that and just gave myself some freedom for a period of time to allow myself to not be harangued between, do I spend time with the daughter or do am I in the practice and all the issues that go with business. And it was during that period of time that new kind of a new motion, new organic opportunities came to be. It's nothing I pursued. I wasn't pursuing anything at the time. It was just
life happened.
But I think that's kind of another lesson is a lot of people feel like they're stuck in a kind of a rut. Maybe they've certainly accomplished a lot in their career or a business or whatever it might be, but they feel like, well, there's got to be more. And it's like, but how do I find more? Well, you don't find more if you just keep doing the same thing, keep on that treadmill. And so this gave me this pause to reflect, and it really opened up doors where other people, other colleagues in dentistry and medicine who knew me, they didn't ask why I left dentistry because my daughter's situation. Well, I certainly understand that, David, but the question was really, how could you do that? You're only in your 40s.
Right.
Most of us are thinking we need to keep doing this till we're at least in our 60s because that's kind of a normal retirement age. Sometime in your 60s, you're supposed to be able to retire, and how could you pull that off? And when I revealed to them that I had building real estate investments on the side over those years, the next question is, well, can you show me how to do that or how I can do that, right? And initially I thought, well, yeah, I could tell you how I did it when I had more time than money back when I was in my 20s and 30s, but these people were in their 40s and 50s.
Right.
It's not the same. You've got a family, you've got a business where your time is more valuable there than what I was doing back then. Why don't you just piggyback on some of my deals? Because I had deal flow. You've been doing it for a number of years. And that's where it started with just a handful of call them private capital investors who you put money into deals, and it just took off from there. The next step was other people were saying, well, hey, can you help me too? And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Do I really want to build this kind of business where I'm now going out and building lead generation to find, typically these were single family houses, wasn't into commercial or syndications. That really wasn't going to be my game, Neil. So it started where I thought, well, I could bring other people I know. And this is a big thing I talk about to people all the time. It's what you know so well is relationship capital is the key to everything. I mean, it's not what you know, really, it's who you know. Every one of us can bring something to the table. We can be some part of solving some problem, but we don't have to solve it all. If you know the right people, you know how to put things together. And so I brought people that I knew that had been in the business who could bring investment opportunities. And then I was the translator. I'm the connector. I'm showing them how to put deals together on a basis. And that just took off and became what today is Freedom Founders, which is a community that I facilitate to help kind of high net worth, high income people build alternative investments and wealth cash flow outside of their primary business engine.
It's amazing that I think it's from the audience's standpoint, something to take away and certainly I've experienced in my own life, not to the degree in which you have, is that when there are dark times, there's lessons to be learned. And sometimes it requires a pause and a quiet and a calm and just to think.
It's a hard thing for us to do because we're so geared to fix problems. I mean, I have the same conversation. I get beat back many times by my wife who wants to tell me something, right? It's like, well, let me fix it. Here, let me come and fix it.
No, I just want you to listen.
Yeah, exactly.
And you and I are going,
I can see it right now. No. Don't tell me. Don't tell me the answer. Right? But see, we've got to have something. So I would say to your point, when you feel like you get kicked in the teeth and pushed off your game, it feels bad. It feels really bad. If people are listening right now and going through stuff like that, I get it. I mean, it sucks to feel like you're in that hole and you feel like, how did I get here? How am I ever going to get out? How can I even live with myself? And how can I even be around my friends because I'm going to look like a loser? I always tell you, you know, stop thinking that way. Everybody, I don't care who
everybody
you are, has gone through tough times. Read enough autobiographies and you'll find that everybody's gone through those times. So number one, get over that because the next steps to really a greater purpose in life, I believe, is going through these iterations.
Right.
And that's what gives you the opportunity to change horses even a little bit from the model you've been on, which again, maybe it's been fine to a point, but there's greater opportunities in store for everybody if you allow those life changes to force you to make some pivots.
And they oftentimes catapult you forward.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, sometimes those darker days are the greatest opportunity, and the trajectory that you're now going to be placed upon is completely different at a much faster pace.
And if you are willing to open up to whoever your people are, it could be a coach, mentor, could be a good friend who you just really trust. Don't do this thing solo, which is so characteristic of guys, right? Well, I'm going to take this on myself. It's like probably the worst thing to do because we don't have perspective. None of us have perspective and other people have eyes. We have the blind spots. And so many times we can only see one way to get through one thing. And it's like, no, there's usually several others. We just can't see them because we're so into the world that we live in. And that's just normal.
Yeah. Knowing what you now know about real estate and success that you found in real estate, what would you have done differently from the beginning?
I think I probably would have gotten involved with more mentors early on. I certainly spent a lot of time studying. I think mentorship, even call it apprenticeship. I tell young people today, Neil, that if you want to learn something, I'm not against school, but formal education is only a piece. It's real world experience. And so find somebody in business or real estate or whatever you're trying to figure out and be willing to go work with them, for them, do whatever they want you to do, and don't worry about the money. I mean, just do what it takes to be under the guidance, the tutelage of those who have actually gone through and figured something out. That's the quickest way to learn something, learn what you like, what you don't like. The greatest lessons, I think, are just being around people that have already become successful, but also have gone through and learned a lot of life lessons in the pathway.
Yeah. Speaking about being around others, thinking back to your childhood, who was the most influential person in your life?
Well, I'd have to say my dad. My dad, yeah, fortunately, it was my dad. Great role model for me. No one's ever perfect, but I would say the characteristic that he brought out for me more than anything was that he actually took a genuine interest in people. Kind of like Dale Carnegie would say, if you want to build friends and influence people, you've got to show a genuine interest in them. And my dad is a busy surgeon. I had the opportunity to tag along with him as a young boy, sometimes to the hospital when he was doing his rounds to see the patients. And I remember this day that he always acknowledged all the other people in the hospital. I don't care if it was the custodian or the assistant nurse who, you know, is typically not very high on the totem pole, or the lady who worked the lunch line. He always made eye contact and took time to say something nice or something interesting. And I thought, you know what? You don't have to do that, but he did. And that told me a lot about how we all need to, again, take a pause and be grateful for what we have and not be in such a hurry to get to the next deal or the next thing and be dismissive of other people who are there actually serving us in many different ways.
I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask your personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com. Hey, I'm curious about you personally. What habit do you possess that you just couldn't live without that contributes largely to your success?
I'd say, Neil, it's curiosity. I'm always curious about how things work, how people think. I think that's, again, how I got involved in real estate when I was still in school. I'm reading books outside of my focused study. You can't see, but I've got a library here of books on both sides. I'm full. And so I love to read and be around other people who are thought-provoking. So I think curiosity would be it.
Yeah. Let's do this. I want to move on to my final segment, what I call 4 for impact.
4 for impact.
What's your favorite quote?
It's from Jim Rohn. You become the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with.
Yeah. I'm going to deviate from my questions because I've got a question on that.
All right.
I want to ask who's in your 5, but my question is, when was the last time you changed anyone out of your 5?
Ooh, changed anything out from my primary 5.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's a tough one. I'm thinking back to see if I substitute anybody in or out. I guess that, I don't think consciously about it. There might be someone who becomes, like in the last year, there's been maybe a person who's come in and become a closer into that 5. It doesn't mean somebody in my inner 5 did something to dismiss themselves. But so, I'd say within the last year, I probably made a little bit of a substitution there. Yeah.
Is your inner 5, is that organic or are you really giving, I'm saying over the course of the last several years, is it organic or do you give significant thought to it? Some of that may be it's organic, mm-hmm. but you've given significant thought to the rooms that you're in, crowds that you spend time with, to the places you circle, right?
Well, you have to. We only have so much time. So as we elevate through life and become more discerning with our time, you have to be more discerning with, who you spend time with. And so, yes, in my early years, well, I didn't know any different. So I just be in different places all the time. And as you kind of climb the ladder, yes, organic to an extent, but then really being calculating about who do I want to invest more time with and how do I do that and what rooms or where do I need to go to do that? So absolutely.
What do you think it is that holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
I think it's fear. I think it's fear of disrupting the status quo, whatever that might be, taking a step and making a mistake, right? I mean, I think it's the lack of courage to go forward on something and taking some amount of risk, not cavalier risk, but some amount of risk to move it forward.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Well, hobby-wise, I love playing tennis. So I do that several times a week. But I think what drives me, besides real estate being a vehicle, a great vehicle, is really what it allows me to do to help other people change their life, not just multiply their wealth. That's a piece of it, but it's actually changed how they think and see their life and see how the ripple effect to their kids or spouses, relationships. That's a big driver for me. And real estate just happens to be a great part of that.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
for me, it's sowing whatever lessons and experiences I can into other people who will listen, and young people particularly. I love to interject, or I would say interfere, in other people's lives. People who will have me, right?
Yeah.
Not everyone wants to hear it. But no, where people would invite me to give them some advice or some wisdom of my experience, that's the best thing I think I can do.
Yeah. Well, if for people who want to learn more about you, learn more about your work, how can they connect with you? Where can they find you?
Freedomfounders.com. is the website. I've got a few books out on Amazon, some definitely related to real estate, some about life and finances. So there's some books there. And I do a podcast also. It's called the Dentist Freedom Blueprint Podcast, but you don't have to be a dentist. And I don't talk about flossing teeth, just so you know.
Yeah, that's perfect. We'll make sure we get all the links in the show notes below. David, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and connect up here. You've got a like I said, a fun, interesting story, and real estate has been weaved in and out of your life to finally, you know, at one point become everything you do and the service you provide to others to help them find, like you said, terrific vehicle to help them find their financial freedom through this vehicle.
Neil, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, David. Hey, for everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest, instinctively you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.